The sacraments of Christian initiation, baptism, confirmation, and the Eucharist, ground the common vocation of all Christ's disciples, a vocation to holiness and to the mission of evangelizing the world. For that reason, we celebrate today Mission Sunday. At the end of St. Matthew's Gospel, Jesus tells us, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always until the end of the age." This is the most appropriate day for celebrating the entrance of new members into our church. Sometimes God sends us out on mission when we are not aware of it. That was the case with King Cyrus of Persia that we heard in our first reading this morning. He has conquered the kingdom of Babylon and has freed the children of Israel to return to Jerusalem and rebuild their temple. The prophet Isaiah calls Cyrus the Anointed, a title normally reserved for the king of Israel. Through the prophet, God says, "For the sake of Jacob, my servant, of Israel, my chosen one, I have called you by your name, giving you a title, though you knew me not. I am the Lord, and there is no other." Cyrus was given the mission to free the people of Israel in order that they themselves might complete their mission to be a sign to the nations of the glory and power of God. As we heard in Psalm 96, "Proclaim among the nations, the Lord is king. He governs the people with fairness." This mission of the people of Israel helps in their place to prepare the nations to receive the message that the mission of God's Son, Jesus Christ, will bring. That message is the salvation and redemption have come to the people who live in darkness. The reign of God will bring peace, freedom, and justice. Accomplishing this mission will require God's grace, particularly through the theological virtues of faith, hope, and love. In our second reading, St. Paul makes the earliest reference to these three virtues in the New Testament. In this letter, St. Paul intended to reinforce his personal relationship with the Thessalonian church. He had left them in the middle of the night through a hasty departure and worried that they may have felt abandoned. He wanted to praise their steadfast faith, strengthen their mutual relationship, and assure them of his unfailing love and concern. The Thessalonians are living worthy lives, unceasingly calling to mind your work of faith and labor of love and endurance in hope of our Lord Jesus Christ. St. Paul insisted on unwavering hope in the midst of suffering and persecutions that were part of the mission. By placing hope third, he emphasized this particular value, calling attention to it as a major topic of his letter. Every mission incurs suffering and hardship. And in our gospel today, we witness opposition to Jesus' mission. The Pharisees have sent their disciples to try to trap Jesus by asking him a question that has no good answer. Jesus exposes their hypocrisy when he asks them to produce the coin used to pay the tax to Caesar. The fact that they can produce one so readily shows that they themselves are indeed paying the tax. When Jesus says, "Pay to God what belongs to God," he points out a difficulty for us. How do we repay an infinite debt? We owe God everything that we have, everything we are, everything we could possibly be. If we were able to pay all of that, we would still be in debt because we as human beings are limited and finite. Psalm 116 asks the question, "How can I repay the Lord for all the great good he has done for me?" It answers the question, "I will raise the cup of salvation and call on the name of the Lord." God has already taken care of that great debt by the infinite gift of his Son, Jesus. When Jesus died on the cross, he gave his own infinite being to the Father by his obedience. By making us members of his body through the sacraments, he has enabled us to participate in this infinite gift that we can give back to the Father also. That is what we celebrate at every Mass. Jesus gives himself to us in order that we may present him to the Father as our own gift. This is the cup of salvation. Together in our assembly, we call on the name of the Lord. It is not enough, however, to be here together. What we receive here is meant to be taken out and shared with the world. That is what it means to go in peace. On this Mission Sunday, it is good to reflect on what we are called to do when we leave today. Saint Therese of the Child Jesus in the Holy Face, also known as Saint Therese of Lisieux and the Little Flower, is the patron saint of the missions. This is especially striking given she died at the age of 24 and never left her convent in France. Her life while she lived in that convent had been unremarkable. It was only after her death that her writings were found and published. The most well-known of these is The Story of a Soul. In this book, she writes of her discovery of a little way to follow God, to be a disciple on mission. Last Sunday, Pope Francis released an apostolic exhortation dedicated to Saint Therese that explained how important she is to us today. Pope Francis wrote that the genius of her spirituality is summarized in one word, confidence. Confidence, nothing but confidence, is the sole path that leads us to the love that grants everything. With confidence, the wellspring of grace overflows into our lives. The gospel takes flesh within us and makes us channels of mercy for our brothers and sisters. Pope Francis also wrote, "From heaven to our earth, the timely witness of Saint Therese of the Child Jesus and the Holy Face endures in all the grandeur of her little way. In an age that urges us to focus on ourselves and our own interests, Therese shows us the beauty of making our lives a gift. At a time when human beings are obsessed with grandeur and new forms of power, she points out to us the little way. In an age that casts aside so many of our brothers and sisters, she teaches us the beauty of concern and responsibility for one another. In an age of indifference and self-absorption, Therese inspires us to be missionary disciples, captivated by the attractiveness of Jesus and the gospel. Saint Therese provides a model for all of us on our mission here on earth. Her intercession has already provided graces to organizations such as the Word on Fire Institute. At the end of every one of their projects, they include a dedication to the intercession of the Little Flower. We also can ask for her intercession when we encounter obstacles on our mission. She shows us we can be confident that God will accomplish his own mission through us.